This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? I'm Chris Fairbanks.
I'm Karen Kilgariff.
We are leaving the home of comedian Todd Glass, who's in the back seat.
There he is.
Todd, can you confirm that?
Can you honk your horn?
There we go.
I want people to know we're really in a car.
Yeah, we really are in a car. We usually prove it through a series of accidents that are inevitable.
Yeah.
Todd, you have 20-foot-tall hedges in front of your house, usually the kind you'd only see at a drug dealer's home. Is that... What are you hiding behind those hedges?
Nothing. What if that's how good I was the whole podcast? Nothing.
Nothing, don't worry about it.
No, I moved... I put big hedges up so when I was working on the home, no one could tell that I was working on the home.
In short shorts?
Yeah, so they could... worked in a thong. No, because, you know, like, if you don't have... I probably shouldn't say this, but I don't think anybody listened. Hold on. I want to tell you one thing. Do you know where we're going?
Sort of?
Yeah, we're going to...
I totally know.
By the way, let me say, first of all, it's a great idea because I don't have to think now going to the show.
That's exactly right.
And I didn't even put my set together back at the house because I thought, oh, I can just do it in the car.
You're going to do it in front of us in the car?
Yeah,
we'll think about it.
Yeah,
we'll
talk just through your decisions?
Yeah, spitball your set list.
You ever have a joke and then you even for the best crowd in the world, it's just something. I start, after many years in comedy, I realize, and it's okay. It's probably what makes certain jokes great between you and your friends. By the way, I'm not telling you this. I'm asking. But I'm wondering if there is a joke that might just be for you and your friends. It's too twisted. It's too, like, where do you think? I don't know.
I think any time I have a joke that has to do with a large group of people, that would, because that's offensive. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that was
See, nice. That's why wow. I don't trust Toyota Yaris's.
Because they're always pulling that shit.
Yeah, they're always juking you out.
Wait, now, sorry.
Okay, so here's what it's not even that big of a deal. I'm overly setting it up, but, like, this afternoon, somebody said something, and we all went, oh, again with the I should move back to Chicago story. And then I went, you know, there's certain things you can't do that with. Like, if somebody had a kid that died, you can't go
no.
every time, oh, again with my son. Yeah, it's like, oh, no, you got to sort of hear that one out. But then I think, like, if I tell that to an audience, like, what does that mean? Privately, I'm a bad person? No, privately, you have a twisted, demented sense of humor. People know what your heart is all about.
That's right.
But I worry about someone listening, like, you know, they think it's
well, as long as on stage you're not closing with your pediatric leukemia chunk.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, you just have.
See,
a...
that wasn't even funny that I said that.
No.
No,
I was
offensive.
Thinking about if I should edit. That's how paranoid I am.
Oh.
I always think somebody with a. Anyway, what's up?
I think people like being on the inside.
Yeah.
Like, if it's something you'd only say to your friends, but you say it on stage, I think people like, it's like now they're your friend.
Yeah, we're safely in a car where you're amongst friends.
I feel like I've had the benefit of, you know, hearing Howard Stern over the years. I used to think that, oh, I want to be like Howard Stern. Like, he says all these things, and he says, you know, what we all say off stage, you know. And by the way, it's not always hateful at all. It's sometimes it's some disdain he has towards someone. Sometimes he also, with that, you got an amazing amount of love, and you know, you knew, you know, like good things too. And but now over the years, he talks about sometimes regretting that, like going to a party and seeing somebody and going, ah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. So yeah. I like think I try to anyway.
Yeah, throughout the day, I'll just have a memory that comes to me, and it might have been years prior where I said the wrong thing, and it makes me just flinch. I have so many regrets, things that have come out of my mouth.
Comedy or just everything?
Yeah, usually something that wasn't funny.
This show that we're doing tonight has a great reputation.
Yes, the hot tub show?
Yes.
It's really good.
It was when this show was first in Culver City, I like when the creativeness of the room matches the creativeness of the show they're trying to, the people they're trying to get to perform. And this show, everybody says good things about. By the way, don't get jealous, but when they're revitalizing the neighborhood, look at the center thing. Ah, nice.
Oh.
Just did it.
Those are brand new plants.
Yeah, yes. Those, I bet one day will be palm trees.
You could come dig some of those out and put them in your beautiful front yard.
See, I used to steal shrubs when I was younger.
I knew that we'd get to this.
Really?
I know.
Is this something you're famous for, Todd?
Amongst my friends, and you know the difference when, like, here's the way I talk about this stuff. I wouldn't do it anymore. I get that it's wrong. But I don't think I have to pretend that I thought it was wrong then. I didn't care.
Right.
I didn't care. I wouldn't have, back then I wouldn't have stolen from a friend.
Right.
But it's not like I have to go, yeah, I would do that too. I wouldn't do that. But yet, when it was someone where I didn't see, now as an adult, I get it. Just because you don't see someone going, what happened to my watch? And the pain and the, it's still wrong. I get it now as an adult. But back then, like, we lived on this, we lived on 2 acres, but then it was in the midst of like 40. So these people that owned all the acreage just sold the people that built our house 2 acres in the corner. So there's all this property, and like, so I was constantly trying to like, I could do a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I was into landscaping, and so we would go into this neighborhood. I won't even, well, people know where it was. It was Chesterbrook. And they would plant so many shrubs, so we would like just pop them out. They were brand new. And I would try to take every other one. I actually still wanted it to look good.
Sure.
And so they staggered it.
Yeah, so I staggered the stealing.
Sure, sure.
And one day, I remember me and my friend Dave, I picked him up because we were going to go steal shrubs. And he had a shovel. I go, oh, we don't need shovels where we're going. These are freshly.
Oh, wow. They just got planted.
Yeah, they just got planted. We just pop them up. You know,
we put the earth is still warm.
Yes. So anyway, that.
How'd you, and you just went on to some shrubbery black market and resold them?
No, we'd plant them like around my house.
Oh, you just, that
he
was almost like
himself.
a Robin Hood thing. Well, Johnny Appleseed Robin Hood.
If Robin Hood was really selfish.
Yeah, Robin Hood just wanted his yard to look nice and didn't care about poor people.
Or like a friend of mine once, his parents, they, you know, they knew like that I was pretty good at doing that. And they're like, hey, we need something done on our side. And I'm like, yeah, for some reason I would go, oh, I can get the shrubs really cheap, but I would like steal them too. And then give them to.
Did you charge the parents?
No.
So you made a little money?
No.
Oh.
No, I
so
wouldn't.
So you were a Robin Hood landscaper.
I in a way, yeah, because I didn't charge. Matter of fact, I didn't even charge them for my labor.
Wow.
No one knew what I had. Like, I was like, oh, we'll bring a backhoe in. We'll get rid of all your old shrubs. And they didn't know because I was like, at that time, maybe I just graduated high school. So I was like 19.
What a nice boy, that Todd Glass. He's been out there for, I don't know, three. Hey, where's my watch? I swear I was wearing a watch a moment ago.
It's weird that I could do it. Like, that. It didn't bother me. But I don't know. It's just.
Well, it is better. It is better to steal shrubs than watches. You admitted that you used to steal watches, right?
No, I never stole watches.
Oh, okay. I swear that you—that was something you admitted to.
I think that was your invention.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I thought you said you stole watches for a while.
You swear?
I pinky.
Look at me.
Pinky swears?
Do we have a safe word? Because I want to know if you really mean that.
I really... You...
No.
Can anyone vouch for that? Didn't he mention that he stole watches for a while?
You did, I think.
Oh, okay.
No, stole watches. First of all, I like how I'm so indignant after I steal. I probably stole $10,000 worth of shrubs, honestly.
How dare
you pull this fit over? By the way, don't be jealous of the new Lowe's that just opened up down here.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
The Midtown Lowe's.
Hey, how come all their shrubs are missing? Oh, I like to call back.
I'm the guy
that calls back too early to things.
Yeah, it just happened.
While we're still talking about it, I call back to the last sentence.
Chesterbrook, what if they have a class action suit?
Yeah, what if there's no statute of limitations against stealing shrubbery?
Yeah, that's the one thing that you could go to the prison for.
With you guys driving, I left my house without... Oh, I have my phone?
Your keys?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Are we going to have to go back for a phone?
I don't have it.
Really?
Yeah.
Should we turn around?
No, maybe that's a good thing. I thought I had it. Yeah, I don't really need it.
I thought you did, too, when you put your stuff on the table.
Well,
I feel light.
I don't think you'll need it, because we will take you to the show.
And we give you an iPhone 5 as a gift.
That's
as a party
part of
gift.
Our... It's becoming a very expensive podcast, because no one's paying for this. I just keep buying iPhones.
Can I tell you, because, you know, it'll feel better if I talk about it.
Sure.
But we talked about this a little bit before we started the ride here. I used to make fun of people that got, not make fun of them, not have a lot of compassion for people that got motion sickness.
Sure.
And I thought maybe they just wanted to sit up front. My friend Lacey, I'm like, just sit up front. You don't have to make up this whole story.
I would call them drama mean drama queens.
That was good.
All right.
Drama mean drama queens.
Yeah. Oh, motion sickness. Sure.
So, in that little period that I just, someone sort of explained what when you get nauseous, what it is, you lose your equilibrium, mm-hmm. which comes from not looking outside. That little period where I just looked to my right and looked to my left and looked on the floor for my cell phone, I got nauseous.
Really?
Uh-huh. And if I catch it right away, I can usually reverse it very quickly, which I did. And it's nice and cool in your car. So I said, stop looking for it, and now I'm fine.
How are you on a boat? You do a lot of cruise ships, right?
I can't do boats. First of all, how dare you tell me I do
a cruise ship?
You're a boat comic, right?
Yeah, I used to steal watches on the boats. That's how
I just spread multiple rumors about you.
My grandfather went broke on that boat.
How do you think I bought the tickets to this boat? And then opened a trench coat full of watches.
Did you really think I did a lot of... Cruise ships?
No.
You've
never taken me so seriously in your life.
Well, because, you know...
He's sick. He's sick to his stomach. He's nauseous, for Christ's sake.
You're like the mom.
Stop it!
No, you don't hit me. You hit him. He's the one that's making fun of me.
I'm that kind of mom that hits everybody for no reason.
You just start
abuse.
Swinging your arm around.
God damn it, all of you, shut up! We're trying to podcast, Mom.
Hold on. Nauseous.
Look at the horizon. Oh, I thought you were saying you were nauseous again.
No, not at all.
Oh.
No, I was trying to recap where I was at.
We went, nausea, cruise ships.
Set list.
Oh, the cruise ships.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I didn't do a cruise ship. Oh, there was something about that where you said you did a lot of cruise ships.
Isn't it funny,
whenever I have this happen, you think the audience knows.
Yeah, that's right. And it's driving them insane.
Yes, so what do we do? Do we just, everybody, I think it's our job to relax them.
Yes.
Just don't be upset. We're going to find out where we're at. And I know you know, and it's upsetting to you, but everything's going to be fine. And in 1 minute, if we're not nervous that you're going to get upset, we're going to find out where we're at.
If we can just let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Don't try to overly think about it. So
release it.
But we were talking about... For some reason, he thought I did cruise ships because I was going to tell a story.
I don't really. I think that that's...
I know you didn't think it.
Yeah, you don't. I said it.
There was something else.
The point is,
cruise ships. Do you remember?
Was it going to be about writing your set list? I already guessed that.
Nauseous. Oh, how do I do... God damn it.
That was far harder than I thought.
I know, it was harder than I thought.
That was a...
That hurt my ears.
You asked me.
Todd doesn't know how strong he is. That's something I just learned about.
Let's not lose it again.
You asked me, we're talking about seasick, if I got seasick. And on cruises, you know, what do you do on a cruise when you get... One time, just going on a little boat from L.A. to Catalina.
Right.
There was like a group of junior high kids, and one was a little heavy, and I think he might have got teased anyway, you know. And now he was vomiting off the side of the boat, and he was probably 15, and I was vomiting off the side of the boat. and everybody was making fun of him. And it was like almost that scene in Tommy Boy where she turns to those kids that are making fun of Chris Farley. And I go, leave him alone. And they and you think they left him alone. And he was like, he was like just done vomiting, but now just breathing and getting over it. Ugh. And he looked at me and he went, thanks, man.
Like you summoned the vomit just to make him feel better.
I was a hero. He goes, thanks, man.
Hey,
I
got sick on a boat to Catalina too. I was supposed to be fishing and I couldn't take it. So I know. I know that you can get sick on those little... I just don't get sick on cruise ships.
Well, if you take the pills, you don't.
Yeah, Dramamine. Well, they got a little patch for behind your ear.
Does that work?
Yeah, no one notices. It works great.
Nobody notices?
Yeah, it's right behind your ear.
That's what Chris is worried about.
Well, why are you worried they'd notice?
Well, you know, it's... Chris, if you have, what's that? Is he recovering from something? Is he a smoker? God forbid. People.
Does he have melanoma that's been operated on recently?
Is that just a weird mole that he had removed? One of those gross ear moles?
My sister and I used to get very carsick growing up, and we lived in a town called Petaluma, which was kind of near the coast. We were incredibly rich. But anytime we'd have people come visit, we would drive them out to Bodega Bay. And so the road on the way out there was super windy. So we'd always get sick in the back of the car. And then when we got there, we were at a bay at like low tide. And then everyone would be like, come in and let's eat clam chowder and lobster and stuff. So I literally cannot eat seafood at all.
Oh, it's because just different life.
Yeah, it's done. It's done. It smells like...
I had no idea you grew up so wealthy.
Yeah, we were...
Lobster.
We owned everything I just named, we owned.
Is that true?
No. Oh. God, no.
I'm doing comedy on a cruise ship that there's... And so are you, Karen.
I am too, yeah.
The Atlantic Ocean Comedy Festival.
Are you doing that, Todd?
No, but let me tell you something.
Are you sure you're not? I felt like you were on the list.
I wish I was. Now, cruise ships, if you go on as a entertainer, you know, that's just the label. I'm not, you know, acting like it's elitist or anything.
It's great
because you get treated great, but sometimes you can go on. I did only one this way, and I will never do it again. You're still the entertainer, but they want you to, like, go, oh, could you play bingo with the crowd Thursday afternoon and promote your show? And I was like, I don't really want to do that.
Why? Bingo's the best.
Because I just want to sleep all day.
Oh.
Not sleep all day. I want to do nothing all day. I get up, actually, fairly early compared to most people. But on a cruise ship, you want to sleep in, stay up late at night.
Go to the buffet.
I remember there was a group of... two girls and three guys in a band on the cruise. They were probably same as our age, about 24, 25 at the time. And they were just doing it for money. You know, they had other dreams, and the cruise ship paid good money. And then they go, they want us to dress up. So we're like, what do they want you to wear? Because they didn't like what they were wearing. And they go, the cruise director wants to get us like something nicer to wear. And then the next day we go out into the Lido deck. And they're all wearing khakis and blue blazers, and they look. And the only thing that they said helped them was seeing us there, knowing how much they hated it. They go, we didn't want to be the only ones that knew how much we hated it. And seeing the comedians, like, because I would go out with this guy, Bo Burnham. We would just smoke pot and sit around the pool watching them play.
Isn't he a kid, Bo Burnham?
No, you know what?
He used to be.
His name isn't Bo Burnham.
Okay.
I obviously know who Bo Burnham is.
Are you thinking of Theo Vaughn?
No. Theo's a nice guy.
Bo.
I'm forgetting Bo's last name. Something Bo Smithson.
Bo Smithson.
I think. I'm forgetting. It does matter, but I'm forgetting his name. You don't want to say it doesn't matter.
You shouldn't say it doesn't matter.
Because he matters.
I just wanted to interrupt. Nice, you know, I was protecting Bo Burnham in case his parents were listening. You know, he's...
When did you go on a cruise?
That guy's probably 28 now, Bo Burnham.
He's probably not even 28 yet.
Very young.
And by the way, super nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He is a super nice guy. Todd, you did something about a year ago that I always... I'm not kidding when I say I wanted to do it. Because I've always wanted tattoos. You got your arm sleeved all in one sitting, right?
I did. You know, I was... The reason I was so positive that I wanted to do it and I didn't have to wonder was... some sort of theme party that I went to... And my girlfriend dragged me, and they had like an arm sleeve, you know, like you could pull it on, like a, like almost like a nylon stocking.
Right, right. I've
seen those.
Halloween sleeves.
So I had it on, and I was like, and then I brought it with me. You know, they were giving them out at the party, and I brought it home, and I put it on a few times, and I go, I never wanted a tattoo like on my arm or anything like that, even though I'm saying it's just not what I ever wanted. But an arm sleeve always looked really good to me.
Yeah.
So I wore it a few times jokingly, and then I just was in Philadelphia on WMMR, Preston and Steve, shout out to my Philadelphia friends, and they have Tattoos Days where they give listeners tattoos.
Oh, you're kidding. You had it done live on the radio?
I did, because they stream it. So they did mine on Thursday, called Tat Thursdays, because they couldn't do anybody else but me because it was so intensive. And they did this in one sitting.
How long?
Probably about 4 hours. This guy was good, knew what he was doing. And I'm going to go back and finish it.
He just freehanded that, right?
He did. He drew it on with a magic marker. And then somebody always asked me what it means, and it really didn't. I went online.
Oh, come on. I hate that question.
You really?
Even when it's a painting or a drawing, what do you mean, what's it mean? I drew something. It looks good. Why does it have to have meaning?
Yeah.
It's an illustration.
Oh, now I feel bad about what I've been starting to do.
Oh, give it meaning?
Give it meaning.
You know what? It's cool if it has meaning, but you don't need to conjure it after the fact.
There's a lie meaning, and then I started to give it meaning.
There's a lie meaning.
I said my dad was an architect, and when he died, we found a few designs in his drawer, and my brother got one tattoo, and I got the other. And they're like, oh, my God.
So that tattoo was supposed to be a building?
Wait a second.
It's funny because
I didn't say architect. Like, I don't say architect.
Architect.
I said my dad was an artist.
Oh, an artist.
Because
it's tribal swirls.
People are imagining my tattoo being like, you know, like a department store.
It's like a blueprint of a room with a bathroom on the side. Right. Oh, that's the closet.
That's hilarious.
Oh, look at the stairs.
Oh, I would get so jealous. Remember, you know when you went to look at new homes and they had the pamphlet?
Mm-hmm.
Your parents, like, here's one good thing, and I will tell you the real way I gave it meaning. But, like, whenever your parents do anything, and I realize it now as an adult, like, sometimes I'll just go look at a house, new homes. I'm not really ready to buy one. Or I look at a car, I just want to look at it. But when you have kids, they think you are buying it, and they get excited, even when they're 10. They're like, oh, we're getting a new car. And then when you don't, they're bummed out.
My dad took me...
So don't do that to your kids.
So many times.
Please,
America. I remember vividly sitting on little motorcycles for kids. Like a lime green Yamaha. And he'd have me sit on it, and sometimes they'd start it up, and then we'd leave.
Oh.
We'd leave.
And they're not doing it to be...
He just was exploring the idea, and then he'd leave. He's like, nah, his mom would kill me. All right, we gotta go.
You don't know that they... You just don't know, but like... It's
he was a great dad. He just never... You shouldn't toy with the idea of a possible motorcycle.
Well, you
that's
can
all.
Do that and envision your child on it without having to see them in person.
Right.
That's insanity.
You know what? I'm glad he never got me one. I'd be one of these gearheads, you know?
You'd be one of these dead people.
I'd be living in, you know, out in Petaluma.
Hey.
I was trying to think of another... Temecula.
There you go.
You know, where the Metal Militia's from. I'd have all these dumb tattoos on my arm. Ooh,
wait a
God,
second.
No, I keep saying the wrong thing.
My dad, every time we moved further from the city, he would promise us mini bikes or go-karts, and we never got them. And I don't think he did it like, I'll never get them.
Did
him.
He
like,
really?
He'd always
say,
we'll get
so
mini
funny.
Bikes, we'll get go-karts.
Our dads are similar.
Because we would move further away. And now the real meaning that I gave my tattoo was I put some initials on it because I thought, you know, there's some people that mean something to me. Not only did one initial, but I put MR for Mr. Rogers.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Because I admire him.
Yeah.
And then I figured I'll put a few initials all over it. And then you don't really see them. They're hidden in the
design. You could write all kinds of things in those swirls.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I like that you're doing that.
How about getting a KK in there? We've known each other a long time.
You know what? If you want, I will.
Okay.
In fact, you know what? To George Carr, and that means the truth, I'm going to do it. Because you're the first person that asked. I may as well make you that person.
Oh, my God. I'm going to brag about this.
No, I'm not doing it for everybody. That's it.
Yes.
Cut off right there.
This is a great lesson in asking for what you want.
Hey, let me ask you a question, and I'll tell you why, because I want to avoid the joke, the KK. What's your middle initial?
Yeah.
Lynn.
Can I go KL?
No, you should. You should, like,
KL.
Create the Karen Kildariff Club.
Do you know someone else with the...
No,
your
do I know someone? No, I just thought if I go KK, it'll be like, is that the KKK? And I'm,
oh, God. Who
no,
are you hanging
KK.
Out with?
I'm doing KK.
I mean, it's those are my initials.
No, you're right. And shame on me for trying to go.
It's really the message I'm trying to send. Shame on you.
Well, because it wasn't like I went, hey, do you mind if I put, like, you know, B be you or something.
Well, and also it's your arm. You can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, but if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to put your initials on there.
You got to go for it.
I'm going back in a month to work on it. That's why I know that I can really do that.
You should. I don't know what I want. You don't have to put my name on there. I'm not fishing for you to
offer. Well, it's already, yeah.
It's already been established.
Yeah, I already got that.
Oh, okay,
spot.
That's fine, you know.
Well, what were you going to say?
I'm just saying anything. You put the lyrics you like. You know, have fun or something. You could do all kinds of things. Just hide it in there.
Wait a second. I think my phone is here.
Up?
I bet it is.
False alarm.
Because I remember looking.
You know what? We always think. Usually when I'm doing this, it's while I'm talking on it.
I'm not looking down. Oh, I've had it in my hand walking around the house.
Could you be sitting on it?
Okay, no.
Don't look down for too long.
Don't look down. See, even though
we just cleaned the vomit.
They're going, all right, relax, maybe. Chillax.
Get chillax.
Wait, should we talk through your set? I'm kind of excited about the fact that you don't have a plan set and you're going to put it together.
Do you mind holding that microphone? Do you want to give yourself a plug?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's okay. He doesn't need to talk.
Todd came on board with a guy wearing a leather zipper.
Leather
mask.
Jacket and a...
He doesn't need to talk.
It's the Okay, so my set... I always write set at the top or...
Oh, good. So you...
Yeah, so you don't accidentally go to the grocery store and make a fool of yourself.
Encyclopedias.
Okay.
So, what should I do to...
read off your set list.
I don't have anything.
It's blank.
Okay.
It's just a white piece of paper.
With my keys. Oh, I put them in the pillow, yeah.
Wait, Todd, you were on a show I did at the Improv a couple weeks ago.
The Improvisation in
Remember
Hollywood,
that?
Yes.
California.
I'm trying to think of how you ended it.
I'm worried that, I don't want to do this. There's some jokes. I will drop a joke out of my act if I'm bored of it.
Sure.
I will, absolutely. Unless I need it for, your corporate show or something. But
Cruise ship.
But there's some jokes that I love doing, but I'm like, oh, my God, I've been doing that for... Time goes on pretty quick.
Yeah,
I've been doing that joke 4 years now.
But I think most of that set, you were riffing, because remember you were kind of yelling at the people that were sitting in the front? Oh, God, it was so funny.
To pay it to be. You know what? Once you get use. I was at a club, I won't mention the name, because it really was a good club. But they need to train the audience. It was out of town. The audience is a little better to be quiet. And I'm going to say on a scale from 1 to 10, let's say 10 is the worst talking in the world, which never happens, but that's just to create the scale.
Sure.
They were about a 4.
Oh.
But when you get used to shows like The Living Room Show, or shows like, Power Violence.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Even though there's definitely a craziness and a frenetic energy, the crowd gets it. That doesn't mean they do that. They just, and when you, and or at the Meltdown, where they treat comedy like the opera.
Yeah.
You set your standards high, justifiably. Yeah. And it's not, so when I'm in a crowd where they're talking a lot, I'm like, I can't take it.
Right. Well, it's bullshit. It shouldn't happen.
I want them to be sitting there, just real. That's how I was when I went when I was 16.
Yeah.
Me and my friends went. If there was someone talking next to us, not heckling, not even that loud. Again, if the scale from 1 to 10, if they were at a 4, that means they'd shut up for 10 minutes and then they'd talk for a little bit and then they'd shut up. And me and my friends would go going crazy at that age, 17 years old. We'd be like, oh, last night we got stuck next to these idiots. After every joke, they would tell a story that had nothing to do with the joke. That was us, 17 years old. We got it.
Yes. Well, also, it doesn't make sense to pay money to go see people talk and then talk yourself. It just doesn't make sense.
I think people nowadays, young people are more confident, and they just think that it's okay that they have something to say. Whereas when I was a kid, no one had any self-esteem, and they didn't feel like they had anything to say. And I think that was healthy.
Yeah. It was a better time.
Yeah, it was a better time.
No, shut up. That's my pet peeve. I get lost with people, and I love you to death, Chris, but I'm going to
Oh, wait, that's the bit you were doing.
Well, back then. I'm not defying that there's differences. I know somebody that doesn't understand what I'm trying to say is they could take it out. There's differences. But whenever anybody goes to back then, customer service was better back then. And it was good and bad always. Or people don't take pride anymore. Yes, they do. So, if someone's telling a story about bad customer service, I'm into it. Like, tell me the details, and I'll be like, oh, that's the worst type when it's sort of okay but rides under the radar. But the minute they go, yeah, that's the problem with today.
Right.
Now, you, me and you go to 15, 20 places right now, and I bet in most of them the customer service is going to be awesome, with a friendly person behind the counter and a really person really eager to help you. And it was all, there was always shitty service, and there's always good service. And I went, proof of it, I was at comedy clubs 30 years ago telling you the same thing. There were people that would talk and some people that wouldn't. So you watch your fucking mouth.
I knew it. I knew I was setting you up for that.
No,
I knew
you.
We've talked about that before.
I
remember that you don't like it when someone says, even if someone says candy bars used to be 35 cents, you blow your lid.
Well, I don't.
Shut up. He goes nuts about the price of candy.
The olden days were never better.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go off. I already said, and I'm going to be very proud of myself, that I'm going to keep this ride. Although, I will say one thing. You know, when it comes to podcasting, what I love about it sometimes is that you can express your social views.
Mm-hmm.
You can in your act, as long as it's funnier than it's preachy. At least that's my rule.
Yeah.
But in podcast, yeah, that's your time. It's like talk radio.
Yeah.
But I said that sometimes I get worried about repeating myself. And somebody wrote me an email, and I loved it. They said, listen, the other side repeats what they say over and over again. That's how they got people to believe it. So if you need to repeat it over and over again, every time it's a little different. And guess what? The people that are fucking tired of hearing you say it, they were tired of hearing you say it the first time.
Yeah.
They never appreciated it. So, and the people that need to hear it, because not everyone's saying it, they love hearing it again.
Yeah.
So if it's annoying people, it annoyed them from day one. So overall, that helps me. But on this car ride, I decided to keep it light and fun. You know, you can dabble into it, but I don't need to go off on any rants. I hope there's someone listening going, I'm proud of Todd. He knows when. He's got his opinions, but he's...
He can pull it back sometimes.
Yeah, he pulls it back.
He dives in sometimes.
There's so many good-looking places. You know what? To this day, whenever I see an amusement park, you know when you see just a parking lot and they have a local their Ferris wheel they bring in for the month?
Yeah, sure,
and there's
sure.
a cotton candy machine.
Bunch of carnies around
I want to go.
You do.
I want to go. I want to, like, pull over and walk over and start and just buy whatever you can buy there, like
you
food.
You know,
is there one over there?
I thought I saw one.
No, I think that was a bus stop. But I know what you're saying. I do know what you're saying.
I think that's the subway entrance.
You're right. It's
that
the
thing right there looks a little like it looks a little like the zipper.
Hold on, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
I won't.
It does look like.
I need to see this reveal.
Oh, bus
I don't
move.
Care if people start honking.
By the way, make sure you check out The Strand, July 13th. FX Sundays at 10.
Do you like worms in your eyes?
No. Let it go. Where the fuck is this bus doing?
Oh,
it's just
yeah,
going a little
come
slower.
On.
Look.
See that?
Yeah, that's all those light. The lighting.
Yeah, that was. That's the entrance to the subway train. But it looks a little
know,
like
I
the
see
zipper.
A subway.
And
I always want to go into a subway.
I know what you're saying. I get really excited about a carnival passing through town. Something about...
It's electric at night. There's a feeling in the air.
It's temporary.
Yeah, and it's when it's dark, it looks cooler. You know, obviously during the day, you just see everything. But at night, you just see the lights and the...
And they blast Def Leppard.
Yeah, and if you're riding the Rocco planes. And you never know, the next day it might just be gone. It just might be back to a grass field. That's what I like about carnivals.
And you can score a lot of crystal meth there.
Yeah.
That's
or
like the best place to get it.
Or a Def Leppard mirror.
I never did any... All my friends back then would smoke, and I would be the one. I didn't smoke or do anything until I was older, like, you know, like maybe even like 23 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did all that. But they would get high and go to carnivals, and I thought, I wish I did that.
I would if it weren't for the clowns. I don't want to be higher. Bound. Jeez.
Okay. Are you okay?
Sorry. Well, every once in a while, I get this form of consonant Tourette's. I get stuck on a B or
we
a hard D.
It. This is a.
We pass a Virgil. Here's the funny surprise about our podcast: is we don't really take you where we said we're going to.
That's
gonna,
right.
We hope you like it.
We're going to take you to a Vons.
It's the. No, we're turning around. We're taking you to the Virgil.
That little
dog. Todd,
I feel like a little kid.
Because you're being driven?
Yeah, that's fun. I'm not thinking. I like, time was just suspended. I wasn't, like, worried where the place was because
yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. You're in our hands.
Oh, that looks so good.
Isn't that nice? Someone taking care of you for, like, 30 minutes.
You know, as people know me, like, for lack of a better way to say it, I'm very, like, you know, maybe you say clean. I like things organized. As clean as I am and everything, I will eat what do you call that? Street food.
Street meat?
Like in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's just so like, I one time I ate corn on the cob in Mexico on the side of the road. And probably gravel had been, you know, thrown up from the cars.
You didn't even buy it from a man. It was just corn that was laying there by the road.
It was someone else's old corn that was now your new corn.
Hey, look at that perfectly good road corn.
I'm taking that corn from myself.
Yummy. Just a couple pieces of gravel.
But I bet, I mean, like, the reason most of those places are there because it's so good that people will come back.
Yeah, they're not. They'd be out of business, right? If it was.
Yeah, they almost have to overcome more than your average like thing.
I never got sick on it.
So, do you mind if we go into the Virgil?
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. This venue is terrific.
Taco truck.
And yeah, that's a good taco truck. I've had those tacos.
I understand Kings, if that's true, that they used to eat and purge themselves.
Because it's so fun to eat.
Yes.
Yep. Eating Kings is and just... sorority girls.
Todd, do you mind if we follow you in and then I'll record some of your
that
set?
That could be your book. Do you video it or do you just audio it?
Just audio. Yeah. Just portions of
just
it.
Just a snippet.
No, I don't care at all. You can record the whole show.
Terrific. Let's go inside.
Let's go inside. Thank you for the ride. And is there anything else anybody wants to say? I'm kidding. I'm not the host. You're the host.
Oh, we're not done yet. We're not done yet.
Right here?
Yeah, no, we're going to park right here.
This isn't a parking spot. I was just going to let you guys go so you didn't have to walk so far.
No, we'll walk with you.
Really?
Well, the lazy part of me doesn't mind it, really, but then I think it's
jump out. Well, also because it's starting really soon.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want you to be late.
Yeah, we want you on time.
And I'll do my set in there.
Okay, terrific. Yeah, yeah.
We should all go in together because... I think he'll be all right. I'll decide what to do.
Yeah. Okay, we're about to hear Todd Glass do... I'm coming in.
Okay.
I'll come in. Just so he can apologize to me. He owes me, like, three apologies. Okay, we're going to listen to Todd Glass do stand-up.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
Salisbury steak. Do we just talk about it? It's bullshit. Let me tell you something about Salisbury steak. It sort of has something to do... It's not enough that things... When I was little... I always look perplexed. I've seen pictures. Now, I know as an adult, me doing the gestures of me when I was like 8, 9, and 10 are a little weird. But everything, picture me, my head was the same size. And everything was like this. Every picture of me was like this. And I knew when I look at the picture, I can remember what I was trying to figure out. You know, if I look at pictures to this day, like it looks like this. Like, it would be anything. I remember asking my neighbor once, "Are you rich?" And they'd be like, "Why? You have a circle driveway." Like in my little 10-year-old head, I thought, oh, they're rich. Are you rich? Why did you paint your house orange? I just want to know. And one time, this leads to the Salisbury steak. Don't worry. Okay. I was at a restaurant. I ordered Salisbury steak. And by the way, I know, just to let you know, I'm aware. People know what Salisbury steak is here. You've all heard of it. But you've never seen it on a menu anywhere, right? So I'm a little nervous. Like, am I doing like a Salisbury steak bit? Get out of the way! Salisbury steak, but is that like, you know, really? But everyone's, it's iconic, I think. You know, it's like, oh, Salisbury steak. It's bullshit. It is bullshit because I remember ordering it when I was little. I'm like, can I get the Salisbury steak? My parents were like, yeah. I'm like, are we rich now or something? Because I didn't know I was allowed to order the steak. And it came to the table, and I turned to the waiter, and I was like, that's just a hamburger. And he went, it's Salisbury steak. It's just a hamburger. And then I asked my parents, it's just a hamburger. And as an adult now, I can look back with clarity and go, I was fucking right. All I needed was an adult that I consider to be an authority figure to go, that's all right, I had to eat it, I get it, I got that. Even at that age, it's what I ordered. I didn't want a new meal. I just wanted somebody that was an authority figure to go, it's basically just hamburger. I know. Salisbury steak. You can't just call it Salisbury steak. I here's what I think happened. And by the way, I will. 10 minutes on this. In case you were worried. Some people are like, I really want to sink into the Salisbury steak bit, but maybe it's almost over and I don't want to get my hopes up. But you can't just call it Salisbury steak. Like, by the way, this comedically bothers me, and then it really bothers me. How did that ever get started? Because whether you think, well, Todd, Salisbury steak hasn't been around for a while. It was around. It did exist. Who the fuck thought they could fool everybody? We'll call it. I guarantee there's someone like, we'll just call hamburger Salisbury steak. Watch, people are fucking dumb. They'll fucking buy it. Oh, it's steak. That's how they go to the public, you know? I mean, yeah, you call it steak. That's the story they could have told. But no, you can't just go, would you like some Salisbury lobster? Oh, what is that? It's mushed up crackers. Oh. That's more just mushed up crackers. Sometimes when I'm pulling into my neighborhood, there's crow. I consider this sort of like a joke about birds. Salisbury steak is sort of like bird jokes. Anyway, just hoping someone's not paying attention. They're like, he's right, it is. But sometimes when I pull into my neighborhood, there's crows, which is definitely a sign of wealth. And they run out of the way, and it didn't used to bother me. I didn't even think about it, but they will wobble out of the way. They're, like, you pull in the neighborhood, and they're like, oh, like in the city, did you ever see them? And they're like, and one more thing, they're always picking shit out of the road, and it bothers me, and I'll tell you why, because I'm afraid to drive into a group of birds, because 99% of the time they fly out of the way, right? 1% they don't. They see a fucking dead bird. And then I think, for what? And you might think, Todd, you're judging a bird on qualities that they don't have. They don't know anything? They don't know anything. They don't know that they see another dead bird. They're picking shit out of the road. For what? What are you fucking risking your life for? You're sitting there and they pick and they pick. There's not London Broil there. There's nothing. They're picking sand, broken down pebbles. They're all that to get. And then they get killed. So I have to break because I don't want to kill them. And then I think, what are they running for? It's so woe is me. It's like, they can fly. Fly, you dumb fuck. Fly. You can jump and stay junk. What are you like? Oh, there's only another way. Oh, please, just give me a minute. Oh. Lordy, lordy. They have like a leaf, they wipe their head. You know, you could teach a parrot to say, help me, he fucks me. But... And I think that's funny comedically, but I'm going to break it down even a little bit more. That's funny because you think, well, we're never going to do that. But try to look at it from a different angle, because I think I can get more enjoyment out of that concept. If you had enough money, not only could you have a bird that says that, but because we all know, yeah, birds talk, and you understand what they're saying. You could have it trained and delivered to you in a year. There's people that do that for a living. They train birds. It's probably expensive to get a trained bird already. And get even a parrot, if you just get it, that's probably expensive, but trained already. And then, so I had this joke in my act. Now, the next part was a what if. The part that the bird would say, help me, he fucks me. Yeah, okay, yeah, we all understand. The next part I did, but I didn't know if you could really teach a parrot to do it, but I just said it. I'm like, it's just a what if. But then I was working on this thing, and there was a dog trainer, and I found out he trained birds and cats. I'm like, let me ask you a question. And I swear to you, I asked him this. Could you teach a bird, like one of the parrots, to cough? And I'll tell you how I tie them together in a second. Could you teach a parrot to, like, go, and move its head, he goes, absolutely. I'm like, serious? He goes, yes. I go, how do you train them to do that? He goes, we do, believe me. So the bird, you go, ah, he fucks me. Then over towards you, you know. if you have money to afford that and you don't have it, what the fuck are you living for? That's not going to just make your friends laugh. That's, shut the fuck up, Bunny. That's like, what the fuck? The minute you got that bird and you did a test run at your house, you know, I'd have parties every night just to do that. Help me, he bucks me. And then you get to act it out a little bit. You could just like go like this. That's you turning your friends like they didn't see that. So there's that. Alrighty. Well, let me ask you a question. I want to be respectful of the light because I don't have a watch. Did that just, that was the 7 minute? All that is 7 minutes. Doesn't it seem like eight? Everybody's made fun. Sometimes comedically, I understand that something might be funny, but also outside of that, I really do wonder this. Like, genuinely wonder this. Kmart, obviously, you know, we all know it's been made jokes about before that it's, you know, it's a shithole. But that's not my question. My question is, and I really do wonder from a business point of view, do they care? Like, are they trying? What do they do? Is there a CEO of Kmart? Of course you're going, yeah, there is. What the fuck does he do, right? What is the CEO of Kmart doing? What is at the big meetings every year? Does he just go, all right, dirtier and less customer service? Whatever. I don't even know what to do anymore. We've tried everything. No customer service. Like, Kmart, like, I don't know what they're... I really do wonder. I could fix Kmart. I could go into there and no money at all. Go, just go to all the employees. Look, times are tough. We're lucky to have jobs. Just let's do... Basically, Target is a company that came along and said, what if we sold what Kmart basically sold, but we'll give a fuck? You think? That light cost me a laugh. Because
even if I had a little thing in my pocket, whenever a joke didn't get the laugh I wanted to, I'd just do that. You're like, okay, again. Oh, yeah. It's professional. I got him back. And I don't care. I'm not a loose can. I made a light up front joke, but everything's good. I'm worried about someone in the booth. I can't see. I don't know if they're watching my set laughing or like this. So Kmart, Target is a company. I'll do the joke again. Target. You know, inside some of the Targets, they put Starbucks. And I just took that for granted. But then I realized there are two is there a dog in the room? There's two completely different companies sharing one roof. They probably had to have meetings and, you know, what's your theory on customer service? What's your theory on the cleanliness of the store? Because if that's true, by the way, I won the longest setup in the world for this joke. This serious. I'm not even lying. I swear to God, this is a big ceremony. And why don't inside, we should take Kmarts, and inside the Kmarts put 7-Elevens. And you can have like a big Who Gives a Fuck festival. How do they dumb us down not to care? It wasn't until a year ago I even thought about that. I went, oh yeah, you just go into Kmart. You never go, oh, that was, you know. I'm happy with when the service is even. You know what that means? I'm happy with 7-Eleven if it's even. You think, what is even? Non-existent service. That's just happy. You might think, well, what's worse than that? It's being scared of the person working. Right? You're like, oh yeah, that does happen too. So even is okay. If they're just there, they take my money, they don't look at me. I don't care if they cover their eyes while they give me the change. That's it. But I don't want to be like, oh, I better not ask for fresh coffee. He seems annoyed I'm here. I always think it would be funny to go into a Kmart. I would never do this. Some things you can sell as I did this. I didn't do this. But you go to a Kmart and you would say, do you have that air freshener that smells like camphor balls and baby shit? I would imagine they'd go, no. You go, you don't? How do you get it to smell like that? No, seriously, I'm just asking. I'm not even being a jerk. I like it. Other people are complaining about it. I'm asking what I would say. I don't know why you're... All right. You guys are a lot of fun. Well, this is my last bit. Now, here's the truth. I don't have... how you doing? Chris Fairbanks, ladies and gentlemen. There, I mentioned your name. I thought you were joking. He goes, oh, you better mention my name. I'll go stand near the stage and scare you. This next joke, we talked about this.
Go get me a box of cookies.
Bye. Hanging around with comedians is just like, it's like being in high school. It's like you don't want to leave, but yet. Yeah. Most of the time,
but yet
I just
your mom
go
said
home.
You had to.
I go home because I won't stop eating.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a definite food problem.
You just ate, though, right?
Yeah, I had 3 tacos, but that's nothing.
Now, I don't want you later to listen to this, Todd, and get mad at me, but I stopped recording you right after you said my name. I figured that was a good place to close it out.
Well, of course you did. God forbid you wait till maybe I said Karen's name, which I did.
Oh, really? See, I left the room. I didn't know. I didn't know. I'd left the room already.
All the love followed up by, shut up.
God, no one tells me to shut up anymore.
Doesn't it feel good?
Shut up. I love it like when little kids say it to each other. They go, shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. Stupid.
Don't.
Stupid.
Hilarious set by Todd Glass.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
It was a little hot, but that audience was so
speaking of hot,
nice.
God yes. Damn it. Right, okay. Right now, who's on mic 2?
Yeah,
there's sorry.
Such a good audience.
Technically, I'm not a... I don't know why... oh, that'll explain things.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, okay, we...
Can we go smoke a little?
Yeah, go ahead and smoke. Smoke them if you got them, Todd.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll smoke, order some Thai food or something.
Yeah.
Are you guys hungry?
Yeah.
No, here's the deal. I'm going to ask you this, but only if you're 100% comfortable to say, you know what, we have to get up early or something. But I wouldn't mind ordering some Thai food in my house and smoking a little, but I don't know what your night is like.
Well, I have a flight for Philly in the morning.
Right. What time do you go?
Well, it's 1:45 p.m., but I have calisthenics. I have to do...
you get up and swim in the ocean at dawn?
No, I have an audition for a cat food commercial that I'm going to get.
You so, really?
I confidently am going to get it.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm going to get it.
Say your line.
There's no lines. It's just me making loving faces at a cat that... You know, I'm going to nail it. That's the work of the future.
What kind of faces
comedy
would you make?
Clubs, you know, you can do comedy clubs and think that'll lead somewhere.
Okay.
We are.
Want to make sure I don't say anything.
But I'm just going.
No, I mean, you know, I was going to mention something.
Wait,
about
it better not
Eddie
be
Eddie Pepitone
about
tried to sell me coke. No, I didn't want to say it on the podcast.
You know what?
Is that where we're getting coke these days?
Sure. Everybody Perfect. Gets. Everybody knows that the coke. Eddie's the coke guy.
Is cocaine going to make up for the fact that I was molested? That's a little. That's you do impressions, bit. Right?
You know,
Todd?
I watched Eddie Pepitone's. I want to say I was privy to watching some of his hour special that they just shot. That's going to be on Netflix. And halfway through, I said, "It's like a one-man show. It's like theater." And then I stopped saying that. I went, "It is theater."
Yeah.
It is a one-man show. Meaning, you think, well, what's the difference between that and comedy? Well, it's great fucking stand-up comedy. You know what it's like if you went to see. How do I say this without being... A lot of one-man shows or theater might not make you laugh like a comedian. Like that punch the fucking wall.
Right.
Laugh. Well, here you get to see something with that depth and sort of definitely a through line of somebody's... The way they feel. So it's like a one-man show, but punch the wall, comedian funny.
Yes.
And it was... And it's shot, and it looks good. It's not too much style, but it's. It sounds like I'm his manager. But
and where'd they do it?
They did it in New York and Brooklyn, and one night Todd Barry opened up for him, and the other night Colin Quinn did.
Awesome.
And the crowd, it looks great. I give Steve Fine Arts an A+ for making that thing look just. It's
yeah, he's
awesome.
A great director.
He is.
There's a guy named Steve Fine Arts.
I know.
Yeah, he was standing right there by the car.
He's the one who did the Bitter Buddha, which I jokingly overplug all the time, but I truly loved it, and I want him, you know, it was...
I was in it.
Oh, you talked about...
I'm the only person that doesn't get an on-screen name credit. Because
piece
I think
shit.
Because
fuck
my...
Steve Fine Arts. Pile of shit.
That fucking asshole.
That fucking pile
he's
of
robbed
shit.
Me of all my successes.
Yeah. What did you ever do so wrong besides
I, but I
grow
think
rich
it was,
in the Hamptons?
He's jealous of my dad's money.
Yeah.
But also my back is to the camera.
The interesting thing
you
about...
You wouldn't know it was me unless you knew my voice.
The funny thing about your money is every lobster you ever ate, you owned.
Yes, that's right.
I believed you. You know why?
They were
I
pets first.
When you said all... They were what?
They were pets first.
It's hard. Yeah.
Then we ate them. It was a tradition.
Can you? You know what? I never say this that often, but you could click the air down one. Maybe.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that
great?
Nuts?
I'd love to. Wait. What were you gonna say? That you thought what?
Oh, I thought when you said like, you know, back when we were driving to the show, you said something about like you owned all that stuff, and I pictured your family owned like the, maybe the fishing company that catches the lobster, the restaurant business.
Yeah.
They lease the nets from us.
You knew for sure it was going to be blue collar somehow. Even if we had money, we still used our hands for our work.
Right.
It's
yeah.
just what I'm like.
We don't own the boats. We own the equipment. Because we like to... There's a reason the Kilgariff hands are calloused and look like ginger root.
Is that me?
Whose fucking fault?
Sorry.
That's the way I act on stage when that happens.
Whoa. Oh, my God. You turned it up.
Hey, is that 1972 calling?
Yeah.
Literally? Because of the...
That's so weird. I turned the ringer off.
Oh, look at that.
Because it's a
John Hamm.
It's a literal call.
Why is John Hamm calling you?
Oh.
Hey. I'm about to get drapered tonight.
Who's that?
That's disgusting.
But that was a lot of fun.
That?
I didn't know.
You didn't get
I know what you mean now, yeah.
The,
look at that tie. Have you ever been to Thai Elvis in LA?
Yes.
Where the guy sings?
Yep.
Well, you might think this isn't nice that I do this, but I think that it's okay because he doesn't know that I'm purposely doing it.
Before you say it, let me turn down the racism on the... there we go. It's
there,
perfect.
Now go.
I'm just... I was kidding. I thought that would get a big laugh.
Oh, but I was confused.
My timing's off. It's because of my timing's off.
No. But did Ty Elvis say... Did that seem racist?
No. I just... Once a race comes up,
you ding it.
That's a
little
joke.
You want to be safe.
You ding it.
All right. I haven't seen Ty Elvis, but I've heard of him.
Well, he's really good, and he is what he is. But the food is very good there, and there's a stage, and there's lighting, and he does it to karaoke tracks.
Uh-huh.
And I know after he's done singing, here's the part that I don't know why I get any joy in doing this. But he goes over to the bar, and he wants to be left alone. Like, he wants you to feel like... If it was sort of Elvis, like, yeah, when he's at the bar, nobody bothers him. And he has jewelry all over, and he has a big black toupee. And So I always go over and ask him questions, and I know he doesn't want to answer them. But I always go, "Hey, when do you play again?" Like, and I just because I just like that he's aloof, and I sort of may pretend that he is maybe a like a big shot, like in you know what I mean. Like it's the old days. It's 1920, and he's at the bar, and I go over, and he's like, "Yeah, what do you want, kid?" I picture myself a kid in this bit. I was young, up my age, even in bits in the car. I don't know what the fuck I was just talking about.
But wait a second. That's hilarious. It's a Thai place. It's Thai Elvis. The place is famous only because there's a Thai man that sings Elvis songs. Yeah. And then he's going to act aloof at the bar after his show?
Well, he just sits there. Yeah, it's almost charming. But he just sits there with all his jewelry, and they'll serve him food, and he just eats. And,
there's
and
no back room?
There's no back room. So I go over. I don't go over for long. I'll go over for like 30 seconds. "Hey, that was really good tonight. Or are you going to go up later tonight? Oh, I brought some friends to see you." And I don't want to do the Elvis voice because he doesn't sound like that, but it's in that air. He's like, "Oh, go up in a little while." And he mumbles.
Does he do it? He does.
And he smells wonderful.
What? What does he smell like?
Just clean.
Oh. He's the cleanest Thai Elvis in America.
Yeah.
That was a real fun hangout at the Virgil tonight at the Hot Tub Show. There's lots of good people there.
There was. It's overwhelming.
It was overwhelming how good the people are.
Oh, there. Josh Androsky asked if I'd mention his name. He said, "Would you say it 30 times between the three of you?" So, Josh Androsky.
Josh Androsky.
There, you happy, Josh? You pile of shit.
Wow, full 30?
Technically, that was 18.
Josh Androsky. What I was saying is, like, when he shows up and everybody shows up, I feel like in high school when I don't want to go, and I don't have really a lot to do tonight, but I wanted to go home and just hang a little bit and chill out tonight.
Sure.
But a part of me goes, "Oh, I just want to stay." Like, whenever they start showing up, it's, like, infectious.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad to hear you say that, because I like hanging around comedy still.
Yeah.
Me too.
I like
it's
going to shows. I like watching shows. I still laugh.
Me too. Good for you. You know what? Because when people say... And by the way, whenever anybody says anything a lot, there's a reason. And I've said this a lot, that I like hanging around comedy. I'm not hiding it. And the reason is because I like to remind myself that I complain a lot, but when there's something great about the business, I also love to spend as much time relishing in the joy of comedians are awesome and they're fun to hang out with.
Aren't
and
they? They're better conversationally.
They're so serious.
They're good, times funnier.
Right. They're serious. They're sillier. They can do everything you need them to do emotionally. They're gentle. They're kind. They're harsh. They're everything. A good comedian will give you everything you need and fulfill you, and that's why it's pure joy hanging around comedians.
Shut up.
What?
Yeah, fuck you. I mean, just your voice for a minute started to get on my nerves. You can stop kicking my fucking seat.
I'm not a punk.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I wish there were some civilians we could hang out with. Just a guy that works at a bank that will smile and keep his mouth shut for a minute. Why can't I have one friend that works at a bank that just keeps his goddamn mouth shut?
I also like when everyone stands, like, in an alley. Yes. Like, when there's a bunch of comics in a circle in an alley. That's kind of
not
my favorite thing.
Not knowing what to say.
You know what? You can't... Comedians, especially if they're smokers, because they can't get them... Well, here, let me explain what I'm trying to say first. When the Montreal Comedy Festival or any festival is trying to, like, you know, like, say goodnight to everyone, most of the times when you shut the music off at a club, people start to leave. Then you turn the lights up, and the people will eventually... You get... Comedians, you can't get rid of.
Yeah, they won't leave.
We just have each other, and we're happy with that. We're just talking and like, bah, 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 bah. And then that, it's like a bunch of seventh graders hanging out together. You're just excited, and there's this frenetic energy.
Yep.
And it's 6 a.m, and they're like, I picture the owners of the hotel or the management going, you can't disperse them. Like, they will not go to bed.
You've got riot police. They're using...
Why do they like being around each other so much? Tear gas them. And then once everyone's on their own, there's like this fetal position.
Crushing depression.
Sense of, you just want to lay down.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's a lonely business.
Not me.
Not me.
I get sad like everybody, but I'm overall in pretty good spirits. people are listening, I forget.
Sounds horrible. Yeah, describing yourself as being in pretty good spirits is a very bad sign.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I don't want, I said I get sad like everyone else. Meaning, I don't want to, whenever, you don't want to paint yourself a superhero. You're just saying, look, overall, I'm in pretty good spirits.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. The fixed gear bikes. That's why I don't like them.
Jesus.
Oh, you got to be that squirrely. Wait, we know you don't have brakes. Oh, stop it. What is he doing?
That's why you need a PA in your car.
All right. I'm sorry.
To swat those people away.
No.
We get it. Yeah, neat.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. He's going to beat us up. He's going to beat us up.
He's so mad. Oh, he's circling us.
He's
like a shark.
Around.
He's like a shark.
Don't be mad.
Oh, no. He's so upset.
What's... Why?
We didn't even anything wrong.
He wishes that...
By the way, for the people listening, because it's important to go, did we miss something? Why would the bicycle be mad? He was aggressively, usually it's the other way around in all fairness. Cars are very rude to bicyclists. But in this case, it's a bicyclist going out of his way to get in the way of traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he drove by the window, all you did was roll your window down.
He almost hit that. He's a lunatic.
He's got his bike lock
Here's
in
what
his
I would
hand.
Do. Here's what I would
lunatic.
Do. Take it right. Yeah.
He is a lunatic.
His bike lock's in his hand.
Oh, he. Yeah, yeah. He's
oh,
ready
shit,
to.
He's gonna smash some windows. That was exciting.
No, wow. How come he didn't? He rode right by.
He I decided. Don't know, he circled us. That
yeah,
was crazy.
He decided not to.
Because we really. Oh, by the way, I got right to everything. So when he was aggressive. So when we pulled up to the light. Chris, you rolled down your window like an inch, but you never really said anything. You just muttered like two words.
You said, we get it, right?
We get it, yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
I said, we like get that. It, we get it. Well, he was being, I don't know if you, if that's a thing with fixed gear bikes, if you get coked up and then ride them, but that guy was being very, very unpredictable.
Do you have a bike?
Yeah, I got a bike, but
I... Do you have
a
bike, Karen?
I do.
I don't.
It's the lifestyle bicycling that I guess I feel the need to say something nondescript as they pass. But God, I didn't know he'd pull out his U-lock.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
I'm so glad. I'm sorry that I put you in that position, Karen. He could have shattered.
Oh, I liked it.
Where are we at right now, Karen?
I love a good fight.
You seem to know your way around LA pretty
well. No, we're driving away from that kid.
Yeah. But I think we'll probably...
I think it's safe now.
He wasn't going to throw his bike lock at us.
I think he was going to try and hit the car with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he almost hooked himself. He also blew through a green light. Or actually, that's what you're supposed to do, a green light. He almost blew through a red light and almost hooked himself on the side view mirror.
Which is actually how he swerved in front of us to begin with. It was like, I think he's... Maybe he's just really stressed out.
Yeah, yeah.
In driving around.
Only because my driving, I don't get into a lot of accidents. It's not that type of bad, but I think I'm gonna end up killing somebody.
Oh,
in my car, wow. And I'll tell you why.
We are recording,
and I get. Well, you understand
this can't
be the
used
predicament.
In a court of law.
You know when you are okay. Let's say right here, we're in. I'll try to maybe explain this. Okay, let's say we're driving down Western right now, right?
Uh-huh.
And we're at this, and I'm gonna turn here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bicyclist that's going straight.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. It's my job when I make a right to look for bicyclists. But, and by the way, people listening right now, and you guys might go, no, Todd, you do that every time. Now, I don't have a problem with stop signs doing that or red lights. I get it. But that's something I forget. And once in a blue moon, a bike has to jam on his brakes. I feel like shit. I think... Why are you trusting that people that make rights are going to look? But that's not the issue. The issue is I'm fucking supposed to. Have you ever had anything like that happen?
Well, you know, because they don't always stop at stop signs. Like, they kind of are doing their own thing, playing by their own rules.
But whose fault would that be? Like, okay, so you understand, we're going down a street like this. I make a right.
Yeah.
He's going to go straight, so he just goes straight.
But they have to, I mean, I don't know, like, legally whose fault it would be. But bicyclists, I think, are hyper aware of what cars might be doing.
Sure,
I think it's like
they have to be, yeah.
Because he had the green light. So did I. I was just making a right.
Yeah, but I think blinkers, that's why you got to use your blinker, maybe?
Oh, yeah, I don't.
Maybe go ahead, put your arm out the window and indicate.
Oh, Jesus, what are we? My arm out the window.
Don't be afraid to wear some reflective gear inside the car. You know, help out. Help out, Tom.
So the reason I thought that, not because I don't I don't want to not drive because I enjoy driving and I'm a decent driver. But I think if I can just get to the point where I had a full time driver, I can say the rest of my life I'm never going to kill anybody, and I can't say that.
But you know what?
Because it's a weird way I'm bringing it up.
You don't know. What if your driver passed out?
Okay, that wouldn't be me, though.
But it would still hurt. You didn't hear the entire thing.
Oh, Jesus.
He passes out. You come over the front. You have the window rolled down in between
I'm
you.
I'm following.
You don't
I'm
have
following.
The divider up.
Yep.
You
no,
have
it's
to
not,
go.
First of all, I got to stop you real quick. I wouldn't be in a limo. I would be in a town car or an SUV. I would never be in a limo.
But you wouldn't have a custom-installed divider.
No.
So that you could do drugs or private things in the
I'd
back
have a cool
of your
driver.
Car.
I put
drive with
even
a
in this fake scenario. I like. I have to fix it. I would not be doing drugs. I smoke pot and that's it. So
you don't want.
But I can already, Karen. See, that still wouldn't be my
privacy.
Fault.
But your hands come across the wheel. You have to grab it like speed.
That's still
or
not my
a
fault.
Movie.
Yes, to watch a human life get hurt or whatever would be sad. But when it's not your fault, there's a different type of
it's
intensity to it. Yes.
And the next day, isn't it always just funny?
Or at least the next week.
That's the last time I chime in. Turning off my mic.
Bye.
Oh, shut up. Oh, it's that bad.
Bye.
I'm turning off my mic.
You can do it.
I never was on.
Anyway, you want me to drive the rest of the way home?
Yes. I'm going to pretend to pass out, you know, and you grab the wheel.
You know where you're. Oh, this is the funnest game ever.
Do you have a car, any car you would get? Now, this is the car you have to drive every day. So it's not like, because I can think of if I could, you know, have a second car or two cars or three, some third and, you know. But
four or five.
Yeah, you know, like I like SUV type cars. I might get an old Scout or an old, you know, an old Wagoneer.
I heard you like Lincoln Town Cars.
But can you? It's the car you got to pull up to the improv. It's the car you got to drive all the time. You know, do you have a favorite? If money wasn't an object, do you know a car you would get, Karen? Start with you.
You know what I would do, which is kind of dumb. I would really love to get the car my mom had when I was growing up, which was a four-door silver Volvo.
That's wonderful.
It with a tan interior, so it wasn't like silver. It was almost like goldish silver, and I've never seen another one.
You know what?
Like it.
I think that's a good. Reason I think that's a really good choice because it's a unique, cool car, but it's not overwhelming. It's not too assuming. It's like, you know, you're pulling up to the improv. You have some of your friends are doing better, some aren't. But it's a cool car.
If he was there, he'd be impressed.
Right, but it's not like a Lamborghini or you know whatever. I don't even like those cars anyway. What about you, Chris?
I think that the car that I keep. And no one's going to be on board with this, but it's from my childhood. I always wanted to see one in mint condition, an AMC Eagle. It's a four-wheel drive wagon car.
That is so funny. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the AMC Eagle. They made the Pacer, the AMC...
Just like a
Gremlin?
American Motor Cars. They made the Gremlin, thank you.
You're welcome.
In mint shape, right?
Brand, like, where was that? In a facility being lotioned? Or whatever you do to a cart.
For 50 years?
Yeah, but with nice tires and, like, a ski rack. And that's me wanting to have, like, a car that I wanted in high school.
Yeah. But wait, is that the kind... Do they have fat pinstriping like the other AMC vehicles would?
Oh, yeah. That PHAT fat.
Damn.
That's right.
What about you, Todd?
Yeah.
Scout? Is yours a Scout?
It has to be driving it every day, but if it could be, like, you know... Not good shape, but like sick mint shape. The Wagoneers. I had a Wagoneer, and I put some money into it, but it wasn't like new engine, new...
Cheap Wagoneer.
I mean, it was the... They looked like they were a lot older than they were, but they made that old-looking one until 91.
With
but even in 91, it looked like it was from 72.
Wood paneling? Would you do the wood paneling?
Yeah, blue with tan interior and
some wood
just
paneling.
navy dark blue.
Nice.
That would be the one.
Yeah. Would you want the wood paneling?
The only thing is with gas now, though.
Ah, well, this day.
Oh, and I'd have a...
If
money wasn't an object, like that, and I would have it put like a... I would have like some sort of make it hybrid or something.
Gas.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like have it spray gas out the back.
Like as a preventative.
Like a Bond villain.
Just because it's free. Just because money's
not there.
And
money's
it sprays
object.
Gas out the back.
And it's just you dump gas cans as you go.
It gets a half a bottle of gallon due to the spraying out the back.
Wasting a lot of gas with this car. It's totally worth it.
Oh, no. That's not wiper fluid. That's,
no, it's all
that's
gas.
Gasoline.
It's all gas. No smoking fluid.
I find that it really cleans the windshield.
No object.
I've saw someone
peaceful,
go over that. Popper tires.
A peaceful street. sort of?
Yeah, yeah. I always feel like this street is in no war zone.
Well, it's because I think they recently repaved it, so it's a nice ride.
Yeah, it's nice and smooth. There's something to be said for a nice, smooth street.
Better than those streets we were on over in East L.A.
Ugh, don't get me started. Pothole City, am I right, guys?
Can I ask you a question about L.A.?
Oh, sure.
Okay, you know if you live in... You know if you live in New York, like, there's something... Forget about money. Like, even if you have, you know, like...
Again,
people say,
great.
All my scenarios are forget about money. Because even if people say, you know, obviously, easier to live in New York. If you have money, it's easier to enjoy it. But, you know, it's sort of like where you picture someone walking home. They stop at a little grocery store. Like, they go to a bar at night. You think about that in New York. But doesn't it seem like in L.A.? And don't just agree with me if you think you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. It seems like when you drive around certain areas, like La Brea and Santa Monica, they're putting up cool buildings and cool apartment buildings and stuff. It looks like it's starting to feel more like a New York, like where you could picture living there and walking to bars at night. Like, why don't... When I think of New York, I would want to live that way. But you could live that way in L.A. Just go live...
I only feel that way when I'm downtown L.A. because they're turning... It's gone from, like, home, like zombie people on flaming barrels to... Like people,
but why wouldn't you want to do it? Like, let's say if you would live like that in New York, why wouldn't you go like, let's say somewhere near Hollywood Boulevard or something, and you could go to bars at night and walk home, stop and get a burrito from a truck, and you know what I mean, like, and live like that sort of city life. I don't know what the
I
fuck.
Get. No, I get that in Venice. I live by the beach. No, God, don't get hard on yourself.
No, I'm a loser.
No,
come
you're
on.
Fine.
I'm a loser, baby.
You know what it is? You need
I'll tell
more
you
than
why I don't kill you
in L.A. It's usually just a strip. Like, I was just talking to somebody about that strip on Franklin, that where the UCB is.
Yeah,
it now
yeah.
has tons of great stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You usually only get like a block or two of neighborhoody type useful stuff.
And in New York, it's blocked.
It's everywhere.
Block.
Yeah, it's just
so it looks
endless.
Like L.A. in certain areas is that sort of starting to happen, I think. That maybe. When you drive around now, start noticing it. I know your listeners are like... Jesus. On the way there, he was great.
Get over. They don't want to let me over.
And there's people that listen to your show that don't live in L.A., and right now they're like, come on, talk about our city.
No, people want to hear about it.
Chicago.
Is there a car?
You're doing great.
Great.
Oh, God.
Where are we?
There was a car.
I missed. They wouldn't let me over. Oh, is there a fight? Whoa!
That guy is...
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, that guy got knocked out. That's some bus stop chicanery.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that guy got knocked out.
That was crazy.
Fuck.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Did everyone see that? Okay. That was muy violent.
That was fucked up.
Well, I think that that guy probably did something to make that other guy angry. We just saw someone get knocked unconscious at a bus stop. And then, after in almost a victorious way, he just grabbed his shirt.
And picked him back up off the ground.
Yeah, just to lift him up and slam him back down again.
Oh, don't tell anybody this.
Well, sorry. I mean, hey, we're talking about the city. Don't you feel like in New York, some of the neighborhoods...
Oh, my God!
Look at that! Take that, New York!
Well, that did seem like New York.
Oh, wow.
By the way, a good Samaritan did run over and put an end to it quickly.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that. Good.
Wow, that was
Jesus,
that was crazy. Isn't it weird how I just want to pull over and get involved, though? That's
maybe
something that's wrong with me.
No, sometimes
like you
want to
fight too.
By the way, it sucks. But
I don't. I have a lot of anger in me. I don't want to get knocked out like that one guy did. But I figure he already expended all that energy. He's tired now, and that's where I. But I'm not going to slam him down. I just want
to. I'll tell you where to merge over.
Okay.
Up ahead.
Okay.
I mean, get involved like a cop or something.
How come you had to go home the ugliest way possible once you're approaching mine?
I wanted everyone to see how fragile human life is.
Oh, shit, I forgot to turn on the cameras.
Veer to the right.
Here?
Yeah, right here.
Okay. See, I'm using my blinker. If there's a biker, he's on his own.
Oh, yeah. God. That was twice. We had a brush with violence, and then we passed it in full effect.
Yeah.
That was... I'm sorry everyone in here is traumatized.
That was
up here intense. Or straight?
It was, yeah, that
he's going to be okay, but...
He is going to be okay, but he was knocked out because his head hit the cement very hard. So it was kind of hard.
Make a right here.
Oh, guys.
Is everyone depressed?
No, I mean, I'm in a great mood. I totally enjoy doing your podcast.
Did you like it, Todd?
I did. It was so much fun. It was relaxing, and I didn't have to worry about driving. I had a fun show, and I'm back home now.
Yeah, right?
In front of my house.
That was good.
And I'm going to give you a grade on your driving, and I'm totally serious.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
A+.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because you,
I thought he was,
you don't
gonna...
tailgate people.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, you're
one car length, minimum.
You drive the right speed.
When, there's a reason. Karen drives. She's very good at driving and very good at multitasking and having conversation. When I'm driving, I don't say anything except expletives because I'm worried that we're going to crash.
Yeah, he gets pretty stressed out.
Yeah, I get very stressed out. I didn't want you to say it.
Oh, okay. We can edit that part out. We'll just mute me.
Todd, let's go inside, and I want to see your place.
Cool. I would love to show it.
Thanks for doing our podcast.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And we have a little.
Thanks for being here for it.
I'm going to tell everyone to do it.
Do you have anything?
You said the word?
Absolutely, because it's like you go do your show. Like I said, you don't have to. It's like you just don't have to think of
it. Yeah. Would you say it's a dream come true?
It is a dream come
true. Where are you at next? This will air.
Oh, I'm in Portland. When will this drop?
Friday.
I'm going to be in Portland. Like the third week, doing a book signing on Thursday at some bookstore in Portland.
It's on my website. Your books.
And then I'll be, the Todd Glass Situation.
Todd Glass Situation.
And then I'm going to be in Portland at Helium, one of the best. Well, you're going there in Philly.
I am going to Philly.
And I'm
going to
be the one in Portland.
Well,
I almost did illustrations for your book.
You did, and for some reason, you know what? The reason I found out we didn't do it because it's
the print. Yeah, I get it. It's a way bigger deal to suddenly have illustrations printed in a book. I've run into this before.
I forgot you did that for me. That was actually very nice of you.
Yeah, I like those drawings. I'll give them to you.
I have them.
I'll show them to you again, and rehand them to you in the privacy of your own living room.
And not demand $400.
Okay, thank you for doing
that. Are we signing off?
Yeah, yeah. And that's been DYNAR.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us time and terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.